Tonight, on Life on the Rock, we'll recap our World Youth Day experience, we'll see some videos from Portugal, and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, Father Mark and I will be recounting our World Youth Day event travels and experiences. And this is a part one of a part two episode, so you won't want to miss it.
And we have a video for you of some of World Youth Day images we think you'll enjoy.
It's incredible how it provokes joy in everyone, and you can't imagine how excited they were. What makes this event different from any other touristic event is that there is the hope of something huge that could happen, and maybe a revelation or like answers to questions that people would ask themselves.
Meditations and some beautiful imagery, I think, especially with Our Lady. That was like really powerful. But this, the way it ended here too, was so powerful. Just I believe in Jesus, I believe in the resurrection. It was just a perfect song, you know, because through every crucifixion, through every Calvary, there's a resurrection. And the Holy Father, you know, inviting them over to come be with him. It was a just beautiful image of him embracing all the young people here, I thought. And it's especially powerful to see the young people, you know, have a meditation, share their testimonies about their suffering.
This is what the journey is all about, having the will to help others up.
Father Mark, we have made it. We've been to World Youth Day Lisbon 2023. I found it to be an amazing experience. And for me, that was actually my first time to go to World Youth Day. So the whole experience was new. I didn't really know what to expect, but what I encountered, I thoroughly enjoyed just meeting the people, doing the interviews and everything. But you've been on actually many World Youth Days. Events, you've traveled the world, kind of seen a lot of places. But what actually made this World Youth Day maybe different from the ones you've previously been on?
Well, it was in a European city, which, you know, certainly been done before in Madrid and Germany and things, but that adds a lot of dimension with Catholicism is so old. There's, Lisbon's like the oldest European city that's continuously lived in, major city. So there's some history there. But too, for me, this year it was exciting that we got to do new things in our coverage. It's been 4 years since Panama. And so we were able to do that live feed. We could do live ear interviews in the field. And Colm Flynn was part of the coverage there. You know, it's kind of the anchor. And he brought a great kind of professionalism and smoothness to it, and also got us some good interviews.
Yeah. You know, so. No, it was really great work with Colm. I think he kept things moving and everything. But actually, what you said before about Lisbon, I thought you hit on something that there's a really rich history with the Catholic faith there. And, you know, during certain periods of times, just the trials and maybe persecutions that the people of Lisbon have undergone, you think about earthquakes or maybe a persecution from the government, but there's a strength there that I found, you know, in the faith, of just having that Catholic identity, and, you know, of just the churches are beautiful. You had a lot of experience of going to the churches in Lisbon, of just encountering the youth at churches. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, that really became my favorite thing to do. And just to go into a church, beautiful church, and they have like a group of young people having a time of adoration, usually like the priest they're with or something. They'll have exposition, so they're kneeling in prayer, and with young people, you'll always have a lot of singing and things. And I remember going to St. Sebastian's Church, and it was an Opus Dei group from Chile, and they were singing the Adoro Te Devote, you know, St. Thomas's Eucharistic hymn, in Latin, from memory. But then they also sang some beautiful Spanish hymns that were kind of more praise and worship type, you know, the guitar and stuff. And just beautiful to see, like, young people in prayer and singing. That just always moved me.
Yeah. And one of the things I found, you know, again, the churches are beautiful, and you visited a number of them while you were down there. But was there any church in particular that kind of spoke to you that you visited?
Yeah, St. Anthony's Church. You know, they built a church over where he was born, the spot he was born in Lisbon. He came from a wealthy family, and it's not a really big church, but it is beautiful. And again, like, the young people were in adoration there, one of my visits there. And I think it was Leo XIII said he was a saint for the whole world. You know, he's incredibly popular. You know, he's known for finding lost objects.
Right.
But he's a doctor of the church, great preacher. I think he was a provincial for the Franciscans for some period of time. He studied in Paris. He opened the Franciscans up to academic study and things. So, hugely impactful person and very popular saint. So, and that's something, you know, because we all pray to him at some point.
All the time. Yeah, I'm sure he was busy over the week.
yeah. And so to be able to go to where he was born, that was moving. Yeah.
You know, I think about his influence of him as a friar, you know, and I was born in San Antonio, which is named after St. Anthony, you know, and there's even in like Texas, there's a very, I think, a rich devotion to St. Anthony through what he started. But it's interesting to go back to where the saints are from. I think there's a special connection there whenever you encounter just their roots. Mm-hmm. So we're now going to a video from World Youth Day Vins on St. Anthony.
This is the Church of St. Anthony, and this is his birthplace. He's born in Lisbon here, Portugal. He was studying up in Coimbra, and he was up canons up there when the early proto-martyrs of the Franciscan order were passing through to go evangelize, you know, in the Middle East. They were martyred, and then their relics came back. And Anthony was so impressed by that, he left the Augustinians, joins the Franciscans. I think he was already a priest at that point, and he just wanted to give himself even more, wanted to die for the faith.
It's beautiful right now. We see a lot of the World Youth Day groups coming in and out of the church, and it's very beautiful. There's a real beauty to Lisbon, and it's very powerful to see just where the saints, where they're from. I think that's always so unique and special to our faith.
You know, I was impressed. St. John Paul II came here on his trip to Fatima in 1982 after he was shot. Remember, he went to Fatima to thank the Blessed Mother for saving his life. He made a point to come here and pray here at his birthplace. We just said a little prayer in front of a first-class relic of St. Anthony. And, you know, he mentioned that Pope Leo XIII said that St. Anthony was the saint of the world. You know, he has this popularity, is so great. You know, we pray to him, find lost objects. But he's a doctor of the church. He studied in Paris. St. Francis wrote a famous letter to him saying, because the question was, should the friars go study? Should they become learned and all this? And Francis gave him his approval, but he said, do not extinguish the spirit of prayer. Don't let your studies extinguish the spirit of prayer, that we can become puffed up and just reduce the gospel to knowledge. But Anthony used it well. He died only at 36. You know, he would later relocate up to Italy and Padua, and he's certainly popular with the Italians. But just a great saint who really knew how to retreat, live by himself, and bring that fruits of contemplation to others in his preaching.
So, Father Mark, what was Lisbon like?
Well, I think we both, you know, were moved by the beauty of it, the cobblestone streets, you know, the old section. I mean, it is the greater metropolitan area. It's 3 million people, so it's a big city. But, you know, city centers like 500,000. And as you said, it's an old city. I mean, the Phoenicians were there, you know, talking like 1200 BC or something. So. And then they had reconquest, you know, from the Moors invasion and stuff. So, you know, a lot happened there. But and they're also known for their shipping. And you drive along the beautiful harbor there with very industrial commercial shipping cranes and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, a lot comes in and out of there. You know, that goes into Europe. And I kept coming back to that. I had a bucket list, just wanted to go to see Nazaré, which is it's about the parallel of Fatima. And they're known for the biggest wave surfing in the world. I mean, they have a channel there off the coast that they have these big Atlantic storms that come in the like October, November or something, and just generate these 100-foot waves.
Wow.
And I didn't make it up there, but I talked to people that were. And an American helped put them on the map, you know, to organize a competition there, McNamara, he's really popular. It's nice to see America popular. It's places where you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pope Francis, he cited it in one of his talks about, you know, put out into the deep. So he had a lot of addresses about evangelization, not to be afraid to go out. And he said, be like these surfers at Nazaré, you know, that'll have this great boldness and daring to surf. And, you know, I thought later, we said it on the air, too, that, you know, Portugal's known for these big waves to be crashing on its shores. But this event, 1.5 million people is sending waves out of evangelization, right?
Because
that's what I come back to. On World Youth Day, it's like they have an encounter with the Holy Father. They have the preaching of the gospel. They have bishops there in catechesis. You know, they do the Stations of the Cross, they have confession, they have adoration, you know, the fellowship of believers, you experience the universal church from different countries. You have the rosary, you have Fatima's there,
right?
A lot of the
young
people went to Fatima, so they had an experience of Marian devotion. Those are great tools, elements of the church, elements of our faith to take home with you and to, you know, to help you to fulfill your mission in life.
Right. And kind of going back to the Fatima, because we did a trip, you know, to where one of the orphanages where Saint Jacinta was. And I always kind of think about how young she was when she really was growing in great holiness of, you know, whatever penances she was, her prayer, her devotion to the rosary, her love for Our Lady and Our Lord. You know, we find that in a small person. And that's something I think the message of World Youth Day, it's like holiness, that's within our grasp.
Right.
You know, if we open ourselves to those graces, as Saint Jacinta did, you know, and Saint Francesco and Saint Lucia. So what were kind of some of your thoughts of even going there to where Saint Jacinta was?
Right, so I was in the city of Lisbon. It was an orphanage, it's now attached to a Poor Clare monastery as a museum to her. And yeah, she was 9 years old when she died. She and Francisco had the Spanish flu. Our Lady appeared to them both to encourage them and asked her, would you be willing to suffer more? She said, yes. So she got tuberculosis and pneumonia, a wound in her chest. Yeah. And this little 9-year-old girl said, yes.
Yeah.
And I think you make a great point that holiness is for the young people as well.
Right.
You know, it's not just for the monasteries or even a lifelong work of effort. You know, we have young saints, Therese or, you know, someone, Carlo Cutis or Chiara, Yeah, they're like 19 when they die or something, and Carlo was younger, but it's possible, and they witnessed to us with their generosity that the essence is like saying yes to our Lord, giving him your fiat, and praying and following his will.
Right. So I think that act of surrender, especially in the lives of Saint Jacinta, is so powerful because, again, it's transformative.
Right.
You know, just to see her grow in her devotions of what she was willing to embrace, suffering wise.
Yeah.
So we're now going to a video on Saint Jacinta.
We're in front of the Basilica of the Immaculate Heart of Mary here in Lisbon, and this is the first church built in honor of Our Lady of Immaculate Heart. And this was well over 200 years before Fatima. And it happened right after they had an earthquake here in Lisbon, a tsunami, and then a fire. So it was a time of terrible tragedy. But the Queen led in devotion to Our Lady of Immaculate Heart and built this beautiful basilica.
And you really see that come through. And I was reading actually about the history of Portugal, but royalty, they don't wear crowns because that's really reserved for Jesus and Our Lady. I think that shows just the great reverence and honor of the devotion that they have to Our Lady, which is so profound, especially as you walk into this basilica, you see the architecture, you see the art, it's beautiful, it's magnificent. It radiates just a truth and beauty that all Catholics should see.
And we know, of course, the messages of Fatima. Our Lady said that her Immaculate Heart will be our refuge and the path that leads us to God, that there's graces in her Immaculate Heart, that if we avail ourselves to her in prayer, she will pour forth these graces upon us. And the Fatima visionaries, of course, are a witness to all of this. We're just across the street here from where Saint Jacinta, she had many hospital visits at the end of her life. She and her brother Francisco contracted the Spanish flu. Francisco passed away, which was absolutely devastating to Jacinta. But Our Lady asked her if she's willing to suffer even more for God. And she said yes. And she contracted tuberculosis, and she wound up having a hole in her chest from the disease. And she was there for about 10 days. When we were in the room with the little bed where Jacinta was at, I just thought about her at 9 years old, the willingness to suffer. You could almost feel the presence of that, of what happened in that room, that suffering being offered up to our Lord.
She was determined, you know, she was determined to love our Lord, to love Our Lady, really, again, as you mentioned, to really suffer for those, for their conversion. You know, the Fatima children, they, especially Saint Jacinta, they remind us of these eternal truths, that we are made for heaven, to be with God.
So the tenderness of Our Lady strengthens us in the crosses we have to carry, will sustain us, and she'll lead us to God. The Fatima children are just models of that, with their courage, their faith to embrace it. And, you know, at the heart of the gospel is to repent and to believe. Those children witness to that with their pure hearts and their generosity. May we do the same.
Father Mark, I think we enjoyed a lot of our experiences there in Lisbon. It was a great time. And it was actually a really fast week. I couldn't believe how fast it was. For me personally, but what were some of the maybe memorable parts that you experienced there?
I am out of the target age of World Youth Day. It's been 4 years since we did one. I remember just getting ready for it and trying to do some research, didn't really get that done, had some technical computer stuff to take care of. I felt like I just barely got on the plane and got there. But after getting there, the youth, I forget how powerful the witness of youth is. Mm-hmm. And their gift that they bring to the church.
Yeah.
I mean, in one sense, they image the church, because the church is ever young and ever vital and energetic. So I was kind of surprised at the impact that had on me.
Yeah.
You know, that it really kind of picked me up.
Yeah, it's a sign of life. And that was some of the things I saw whenever they on the monitors. A lot of times, you know, they highlight people.
Yeah.
And for me, you would just see people just deep in prayer.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you deep in prayer with all of this? But they were. It was the Stations of the Cross and a lot of these vigils and everything. And it was very moving to see.
That was one of my favorite moments, was the Saturday vigil. Because there's this time of adoration. So all day you're beaten down by the sun. And then in the evening, it's a dry climate. It was just so pleasant and peaceful. And it was this massive crowd, like a million people, right? But it was quiet.
It did.
And just meditation. And to see the Pope kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, it's like he's leading us to Jesus, right? And leading us in prayer. And that was so peaceful. I mean, think about that. Over a million people in adoration. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
It's like a miracle.
It is. It's a flat-out miracle.
So can you lead us in a blessing, Father?
Sure. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you and give you his peace. And we pray for all the young people out there who are not able to go to World Youth Day. We pray that gift and charism of World Youth Day may be poured into your hearts. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
We spread our wings, and here we are. And with Mary proclaiming our yes, we seek to serve and follow the will of the Lord, our Father. Chiamati ad essere come Cristo Gesù, vogliamo dare, diventare, docili a sì, essere come Maria.
Jesus, baby, não nos deixa só. no more.